Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Literally Can't Even, where this week we have, like, one of my most anticipated reads. Ever since we started this podcast, I've wanted to do this book, and we finally got around to it, and that is Divergent.
And it was recently, what, the 10th anniversary?
The 10th anniversary. So my birthday was in June, and I wanted these 10th anniversary. They came out in June, and my sister got me all four of them. So I did read from them. I was under the assumption that there were extra scenes, but actually in the first book, there were just like descriptions of the different factions in the back. And I was like, I already knew all this. Wait, yours had
that? Yeah, I just have like a random like old copy from the library. And yeah, it has descriptions of the factions. It has all four faction manifestos.
And it has
two chapters from Insurgent.
Oh my God. So was there anything special about my 10th anniversary other than the cover?
Right.
The covers are very pretty.
They are. Yeah. Yeah, they look very nice. So this is the first book I think that we've both read before.
Right, yeah.
So I read the whole series when I was in high school, kind of when it was at its hype peak, I feel like.
Mm-hmm. Actually, not same. I was going to say same, but then I had to catch myself. So yeah, I also was introduced to this series in high school. I read the first book, but I bought the second two, or the second and the third, but actually never read them until like a couple years ago. I saw the movies though.
Sure.
Yeah, but
that's interesting. I never saw the, I definitely didn't see the like third movie, whichever one that was, but I think I did see the second one. I don't know. I lost interest pretty quickly.
Yeah,
with the movies.
The first one was amazing. I loved it. Mm-hmm. The second one was pretty good. The third one has grown on me, but the CGI is an absolute mess in it. And so you could just tell they got a budget cut.
Sure.
Because I don't think the second movie did very well.
Mm-hmm. I really did not like Shailene Woodley in them.
Oh, and I really liked
her. She really
her.
Annoyed me. So that was a big part of me not liking the movie, I feel like. But yeah, I was also super critical because the book is better.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I just wasn't on board. So yeah, but you said this is like one of your favorite series like ever.
Yes. I just have a lot of nostalgia for it. I feel like you know, Percy Jackson was kind of the first series that I got into. And, like, The Hunger Games was, like, my middle school, but, like, is anybody actually conscious before high school, you know? So, you know, Divergent was really all I had in high school in terms of reading, because I did not read for fun in high school.
Sure.
So, like, it's just a very, like, prevalent nostalgic thing from that time period. And since, like, pretty much all the movies came out while I was in high school, like, I don't know. I'm just, like, tied to these books. I can see that they're not perfect, but I love them.
Sure. Yeah, I read a ton in high school, like, way more than I do now, and Divergent was definitely, like, the beginning of my, like, deep dive into dystopian novels, I feel like. I read so many, and I really loved it at the time. But I guess little spoiler alert for later. It definitely didn't hold up for me like I thought it might. It was, you know, it was fun to reread it, but I definitely realized some things that I wouldn't have realized back in the day. But before we talk about the book, we thought it would be fun to see which factions we would belong to. We found, Brendan found us a lovely quiz on BuzzFeed.
The most reliable place.
Exactly.
For this type of information.
There's no Pottermore for Divergent, so this is what we have to do. So we're going to just read through the quiz and talk about it a little bit, and then we'll find out what factions we would be in.
Right. Also, there are five options for anybody that doesn't know Divergent. So there's Abnegation, which are like very selfless people. There's Dauntless, which are just like chaotic. They are
brave. I think
brave, this brave. but also chaotic.
Yes.
Erudite, which is in the best terms, just what, the Ravenclaw of Divergent.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Candor, which is like the lawyers. They're all about honesty. Mm-hmm. And then Amity, which are, I guess, the Hufflepuffs.
Right. They're peaceful.
They're very, very peaceful. They're the farmers of the world.
Yes.
And then there's Divergent.
Right. Which means you're more than one, which isn't supposed to happen, which is why the book is called Divergent.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So since you don't like reading in front of the class, do you want me to read these questions?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. So question number one, an old lady falls over in the street. What do you do? You can laugh, then walk on. You can help her up. You can help her up, then assist her to her destination. You can help her and then check for any injuries. You can do nothing, or you can ask if she's okay, but don't help her.
So this question is alone is why I chose us to do this quiz. Like, they had multiple faction quizzes, but I was like, this one's actually interesting, you know?
Yeah. So I'm going to go ahead and say that I would just help her up. I would just, like, help her up and be like, you good? And then, like, move on.
Yeah.
Like, see. Yeah, I feel like I'm not qualified to check for injuries.
Yeah, see, I was going to say that, but I think I would check for injuries just in case she was, mm-hmm. like, bleeding or something.
Yeah.
But I don't think I would laugh and then walk on, but I also don't think I would be selfless enough to assist her to her destination, you know?
Right. I would definitely not, like, laugh at her or be like, you good, and then walk away, but I can't say that I would go the extra mile either.
Right.
Okay, so question number two, you're at an amusement park. What ride do you go on? No rides for me, the super fast roller coaster, all of them, one where you go in a raft and flow down a gentle river. I have no idea, or a merry-go-round.
You know, if you ask me whenever I was 10, I would say no rides, but now I'm an all of them type of person.
Ooh.
Yeah, we even went to Cedar Point, which is, like, the place with the most roller coasters in the U.S.
Did you ride them all?
I rode them all, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
So I'm qualified to answer this way, everybody.
That is crazy. I am so afraid of heights, like, so afraid of heights. I hate the feeling of falling. Roller coasters are not fun for me. I don't mind spinning rides. I don't mind rides that go fast. If you've ever been to, like, Epcot, the test track ride is, like, one of my favorite rides I've ever been on.
Oh, yeah, that one's
so fun. And it, like, it goes really fast. That one's really interesting. But I cannot handle the drops. So I would say, I guess one where you go in a raft and flow down a gentle river, I would be fine with, like, kind of a bumpy ride down a river. But I will not be riding any roller coasters.
Those are pretty fun. Yeah.
I like water rides a lot.
Yeah. I feel like that's the moderate ride in these selections, you know?
Yeah, like the middle. Right.
You're right.
Okay, so question number three. Someone was in an accident and it appears they have broken their arm. What do you do? Tell them that they'll be okay. Just leave them. Cut it off? Question mark. Apply pressure to the arm if bleeding and apply ice, then make sure they keep still. Then call an ambulance. Try to help somehow. Tell them that they've broken their arm and that it's bad. What are these options?
I'm going to just say try to help somehow.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm going to say too.
I've always been the type of person that isn't very good at helping people. And so I always just stand in the back and, like, if somebody is like, bring me this, I will bring them, you know, a Band-Aid or whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm good at taking direction, but
yeah,
I guess I can take lead when I have to. But again, I feel not qualified to take the lead in a first aid kind of situation.
Exactly.
So I would probably just call 911. But
yeah,
since that's not an
option. Well, they've been in an accident, so I think that would be the first thing I would do as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, this next one is kind of hilarious. So this is, like, one of those, like, it's so obvious kind of things. So pick a color. Black, white, orange, blue, gray, or I can't pick just one.
I wonder which one is the divergent pick.
I wonder which one. It's not as if each of these colors correlates directly with a faction or anything.
Right.
So, I'm going to pick blue and pretend like I don't know which faction that goes
along. We are going to get the same exact answer because I am just picking my favorite color, which is blue.
Oh, right, exactly.
So, there we go.
Okay. This is like the same kind of question. Okay. What kind of friend do you usually look for? I'll honestly be friends with anyone. Someone kind. Someone to support me. Someone honest. Someone fun and adventurous. Or someone smart and willing to make tough decisions.
I'm actually going to say someone honest. Because I feel you'll actually find somebody that you click best with. If, mm-hmm. like, everything is just out on the table.
Yeah. I'm going to say someone to support me. Because even though, like, my first instinct, like, before thinking about it was to say someone kind. Because it's very important to me that people be kind. You know, I don't like to be around people who aren't kind. At the same time, you can be nice to somebody without being a great friend. And I'm the kind of person that, like, I love to go out of my way to help people, to help the people that I care about. And sometimes that's not reciprocated with people, you know, and that's really frustrating. So finding someone that supports you rather than just being kind is an important for like a real friend, I feel like.
Right, right.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Which life sounds best? Living on a farm stress-free, living in a city with lots of people, traveling and sleeping wherever, living on a nice suburban street, living in a place where there are lots of good facilities, or traveling to unique places to see how others live.
So are we going with our current ages or just like whenever I'm 60? Because
I'm going to say right now.
Okay, because my dream has always been to like own a farm and just work on a farm and like have pet cows and stuff. But like right now, being, you know, 23, that is not what I want. So I'm going to say...
That's also, like, a retirement dream of mine. Like
right.
Like, a big, like, yeah, farm where I can rescue all the dogs.
Right. But I really want to move to Boston, so I'm going to say living in a big city with lots of people.
Right. So living in a big city with lots of people is definitely my instinct, too. However, I feel a little bit like a fraud because I live in Atlanta right now, and I'm constantly complaining about how many people there are. But Atlanta's infrastructure is just like not built for all the people that are here.
Right.
Like it's a problem. So anyway,
that's kind of like if Tampa's population grew like anymore, that city would literally fall apart.
Right. It is a mess. Like our streets are not, and like Atlanta's so spread out. Like you think of New York and it's so compacted and everything's on top of each other. Mm-hmm. And Atlanta is like so spread out with so many people stuffed into like areas, but then far apart. So like it's not walkable at all. The public transit is horrible. Like it's just, it's a mess. Anyway, a friend is being bullied. You.
Stand oh wait, which one did you bully. Choose?
Oh, I picked the city too.
Oh, okay, perfect, yeah. Perfect.
I would rather live in a city than any of the other things.
Yeah.
Stand up for them and face the bully. Talk the bully down with calm words. Walk away. I don't want to be involved. Insult the bully. Stare and watch. Get an authority figure to step in.
Okay, this is gonna sound so bad. But I hate confrontations so much that I am choosing to stare and watch as it happens.
Right.
I feel like I would support them emotionally after, but, like, I am not the type of person to get involved whatsoever in that type of situation.
Right.
But I'm also not going to walk away, you know?
Right. So, I too really hate confrontation, but I feel like I have like an override when it comes to other people. Like I don't want to be in a confrontation because of me, but I'll do it for someone else. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, it's also been a while since like I've ever been faced with a situation with a bully. And so I don't know my first instinct now, but going back, like this would be my instinct.
Sure, yeah. 16-year-old me would absolutely just have watched.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, so a friend asks if she can copy your homework. You say no. The answer is no. Say yes and hand it over. offer to help her, but don't give her the answers. Tell the teacher that she didn't do it. Say sure, but let her know the answers are probably wrong. Tell her yes and say she can ask you for help anytime.
Oh my God. I'm going to offer to help, but not give her the answers.
Me too.
Yeah.
We are going to get the same thing. Right. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. No, that feels weird to just let somebody completely copy down something you've worked on, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I hate that. Yeah. People used to do that in high school, like, without asking. They would just do it. Right. And it made me mad.
Yeah.
But I was afraid of confrontation, so I never
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Last question. What do you fear most? Being betrayed? Being unhappy? Watching people die? Being ignored? Being unsuccessful? Or I fear nothing?
I wonder which one is the dauntless one.
Right.
I'm going to say being unhappy.
Oh, me too.
Let's see what we get. Oh, right. What a shocker.
Oh, that's funny.
So, I got erudite, which I'm guessing you probably got too, or no?
I didn't. Oh, no, my I did God. Not. Okay, you read your little blurb first.
Okay, so you are incredibly intelligent. Thank you. You're always looking for answers to unsolved problems and constantly seek new knowledge. Which, that is a very brief way to describe erudite.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So I got amity.
Whoa.
It says, you are kind and always look for peace. You hate conflict and just want people to be happy. Which is true. Mm-hmm. However, I feel like my other traits would, like, override that, you know, like, yes, I don't like confrontation, like, yes, I am generally a people pleaser, but, like, also people drive me nuts sometimes.
Yeah.
And I feel like I wouldn't be a very good I mean, obviously the faction system is flawed, hence this right. book, but, you know,
right, also at the end of the day you get to pick your faction, so it's right. completely up to you, unlike Harry Potter.
Right. Yeah. Unlike Harry Potter. I mean, I don't know. Honestly, if I had to pick, I probably would pick Amity, too. Like, if I was faced with the five choices, like, that would probably be the best one for me, I think.
Probably same, actually. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's the most stress-free one.
Exactly. It seems like the least extreme.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
And abnegation just seems so boring. Like, that seems stress-free, but, like, they dress in gray. Like, no, thank you.
Right. And, like, you don't ever get to do anything fun.
Right. You don't even get mirrors.
Right. Not even mirrors.
Okay. Well, that was right, us finding out our factions.
There we go. I'm surprised.
Twist. Yeah.
I feel like I took a quiz. Definitely wouldn't have been on BuzzFeed, but I feel like I took a quiz way back in the day and it was like Divergent. And I was like, yes.
I mean, they probably did some promo for like the movies.
Yeah.
Where they probably released like an official quiz. I think there was actually one in the back of a book at some point.
This one has it.
Oh, it does? But
it's one of those, like, if you picked mostly A's, B's, or whatever, and I kind of hate those, so.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure that's how it scores this one, but.
Yeah.
Also, it's basically every question is, like, very obviously geared to the faction, so it's, like, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so Divergent.
Yo, I guess
do you
want to
give us a little?
Yeah,
I'm assuming that most people know generally what it's about, but do you just want to give us a quick little overview?
Sure. So this book follows Beatrice Pryor, who renames herself as Triss, and she originally comes from the faction Abnegation, and it's basically her time to choose which faction she wants to stay at for the rest of her life. So she goes through this simulation first, and her results come out inconclusive, which basically means she is divergent. She's showed too many traits of too many different factions, basically. And so at the choosing ceremony, her and her brother go at the same time, which I didn't really pick up the first time. That's kind of odd. That they're, like, mm-hmm. the same age, you know? And not twins. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I never got that. But,
yeah, she says there's some, like, weird age apart.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
But at her choosing ceremony, she betrays her faction and chooses Dauntless, where she then starts training and all this stuff. She meets this guy named Four, who she starts to have feelings for. And, you know, in the background, Erudite is brewing. There's constantly news about Erudite pointing out flaws in the Abnegation faction, which Abnegation kind of runs the government. So, yeah. I think that's pretty much it. That's yes. Divergent.
that's Divergent.
So, rating-wise, what did you give it this time?
Oh, man. I'm going to say a 3.
A 3.
I don't know. It didn't really do it for me, you know?
Yeah.
I had a little bit of a difficult time. You know, it took me a long time to read. I felt really bad because you finished, like, way before me. But, yeah, I just, like, couldn't. I just wasn't getting into it, you know? And it's not because I knew what was going to happen. Because, obviously, I did know what was going to happen, but I forgot a lot of stuff.
Yeah, same.
But, yeah, it was just, like, not. I don't know. It just wasn't. I didn't find the whole, like, initiation process as, like, exciting as I did before or anything.
Yeah. Considering that's, like, most of the book, I actually found that kind of tedious to get through, too. Because it does seem very random, some stuff that is happening. Like, I don't know if we want to talk spoilers yet or whatever. But there's, like, this whole capture the flag game in Dauntless. And it takes up, like, 2 chapters, but it actually, like, and 2 chapters is what, like, probably 30 or 40 pages.
Right.
And it doesn't affect the main plot whatsoever. And, and like,
although it is kind of fun, like, it is kind of fun. Like, it's a nice change of scenery, but it really doesn't affect anything.
Right. But, like, during the initiation chapters or pages, which is hundreds of pages, there's just, like, constantly things like that happening, you know?
Right. And, like, so there's 3 phases of initiation, right? And you spend a ton of time on phase 1.
Right.
And then I feel like phase 2 is, like, a chapter, and then phase 3 is, like, the rest. Like, technically they're in phase 3 for, like, a good part of the book, but, like, phase 3 doesn't actually involve a lot.
Right. Phase 3 seemed to, like, go by in, like, 5 pages, honestly.
Right. And, like, phase 1 is, they talk about, like, how they score and everything. Phase 1 is, like, the least weighted one.
Yeah.
And yet we spend a ton of time in it. So, yeah. Also, I don't know. I guess I feel like we should just, like, go into spoilers because it's not like this book is new. So I am sick and tired of girls falling in love with their mean older trainers. I'm over it. I hate it.
Don't you know this is where it all started?
It's not cute.
This is where it all started. I get it. It kind of seems like, what does that affect whenever somebody falls in love with their, like, they're a hostage to somebody?
Oh, Stockholm Syndrome?
Yeah. It kind of seemed like that a little bit. But, I get it because, you know, Four is secretly Tobias, who is secretly Divergent. And I feel like they just always had that, like, same mentality, almost. Like, they were always on the same wavelength a little bit. But I will say, Four is very rude at the beginning. And Trish just, like, reciprocates that. You know?
Right. But, like, also, like, at first she's like, oh, I hate him, he's so annoying. And then she, like, accidentally is in close proximity to him, and she's like, oh my god, why, like, why do I like this? And it's just like, why? I don't understand how, I guess they try to use the excuse of, like, in Abnegation, they view, like, physical touch as somehow selfish, and so she's very, like, unused to affection.
Yeah.
But I still don't see how that connects, because you kind of have to have some sort of, you have to like the person, like, at least a little bit to, like, be affected by their presence like that, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, in her fear landscape, you know, him being intimate with her was, like, one of her fears. And it was awkward. It was really awkward. Yes. But that definitely stems from her abnegation roots, I would say. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, that was awkward.
Yeah. So, what do we think about Al? I just found his entire storyline just, like, kind of useless. You know?
Yeah, for sure. Like, it's, like, I feel like it's just supposed to make her feel guilty, but mm-hmm. she only feels guilty about it for, like, a day. So, basically, Al is one of the initiates. He's a transfer from... erudite?
Maybe. Maybe.
I think... No, Kandor. No. It was Kandor.
Yeah. Yeah. Because he was, like, all... he was, like, in a shell the entire time, it seemed.
Yeah, so he's, like, big and strong, and so the first phase is, like, basically hand-to-hand combat, but he hates hurting people. Right. So, his first opponent, he beats the snot out of them, and he feels really terrible about it. So, from then on, he chooses to lose. And so, that puts him at the bottom of the ranking, which puts him in risk of being kicked out. And he just slowly, like, recedes into himself. And he kind of gets through the first phase on a technicality because some other people leave. And, he's just, like, you see him, like, kind of spiraling, I guess, and he likes Triss, and she doesn't reciprocate, and then Triss pulls, like, way ahead in the rankings, and he ends up teaming up with the other jerks and tries to hurt Triss. They, like, beat the crap out of her and threaten to, like, throw her
nearly over the railing.
Then he, like, begs for her forgiveness, and then after she doesn't forgive him, he kills himself. It was just all very, and then, like, Triss is like, well, he, you know, he was depressed and blah blah blah, and, like, I don't know if I had forgiven him, he may not have jumped, but, you know, I guess I'll never know. And Tobias is like, we'll just have to do better next time, and you're just like, what's happening?
Well, and also, like, there's, like, a huge thing with, like, Eric, the leader of Dauntless, who celebrates Al as brave, right?
Right. I found that very weird because that was something that I completely forgot about. Yeah. Because when they say they're having a funeral and then Eric gets up, I assumed that they were going to say that killing yourself is, like, cowardly, like, choosing the easy way out or whatever. But instead they say there's nothing braver than doing that, than facing the unknown. And I was just like, wow, that is not a great message. Like,
no. Not at all.
No. Well, and Triss kind of says, like, well, now people will think it's a good idea because people will think that they're brave. But, like, that doesn't do, like, enough to, like, celebrated show how messed because up of that it. Is.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I just, I'm going to be honest, before going into this reread, I forgot Al was even a character.
Mm-hmm.
That's how, like, forgettable he was.
Right.
Because he was just, like, always just sulking in the background, wanting Triss's attention, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And then he dies, like, halfway through the book. And it's just like, what was the point of him even being there? Other than pointing out, like, how hypocritical Eric is.
Yeah. Ugh, Eric is awful. Just, like, Eric is one of those characters that just, like, no nuance, like, all evil.
Right.
100% evil, nothing else. Right. He's just, like, loves to see people suffer and wants to... It, just, like, a classic bully. Like, he just gets off on making people feel small because he secretly feels small or whatever. Yeah. And he hates Four because Four is better than him and all this dumb stuff. Right. And then there, so one thing I did not forget is that as soon as I read the name Edward, I was like, oh, that's the guy that gets stabbed in the eye.
Yes. Yes.
Because that scene is graphic.
Yeah. So Peter, is one of the worst characters in the book.
Mm-hmm.
He has a little bit of redemption at the end, but not much. And pretty much through the whole series.
Didn't Miles Teller play him in the movie? Yeah. Am I remembering correctly? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much through the entire series, Peter is given many, many times to redeem himself, and he constantly just, like, kind of turns that on its head. But, mm-hmm. So there's this guy named Edward, And his girlfriend, what's her name? Mara?
Myra.
Mm-hmm. And so they place very high, and Edward places as number one, and Peter's just like a little bit down. Either number two or number three.
I think it's Edward is one and Peter is two, and then Myra is actually like at the bottom.
Right. Mm-hmm. So because Peter can't handle not being number one, in the middle of the night, Edward screams because Peter has stabbed him in the eye. And so that causes... With a butter knife. So that is what causes Edward to obviously drop out. And Myra follows him. And that's what saves Al in the first round.
Yeah. And this is... I guess this sort of serves to alarm Triss and be like, oh, like, this guy's dangerous. Right. Like, he's not just a jerk. He will hurt you. Right. And, you know, he does hurt Triss later. And I guess we should mention that if you leave initiation or you're kicked out of initiation, you become factionless, which is basically just, like, modern day being homeless. Like, there's, you know, they just the live factionless in squalor.
In the movies looked, like, possessed or something.
I don't remember them really at all.
Oh my god. In the first movie, like the second movie, they're a little bit better because I don't want to say the spoiler at all, but let's just say the factionless have a bigger role in the second movie, so they don't look so crazy. But in the first movie, she looks down this alleyway and like the people looking back at her like have glowing eyes, like crazy hair, and just wearing rags, and it's like, oh my god.
Right.
Like, these people have the devil in them or something.
Yeah.
They're going to start climbing walls or something.
Yeah. So, like, leaving initiation is, like, a big deal. Yeah. But,
well, and, like, the Dauntless say from the very beginning that I think it's only 10 initiates are actually going to stay in Dauntless, and everybody else is going to become factionless. And, like, the transfers even are going up against the Dauntless Born, which are basically people who have lived there since they were born. So, they're already kind of at a disadvantage, you know?
Right. But, so, in phase one, with the physical stuff, they are split up. So, they call them transfers, are all together, and the Dauntless Born are all together, and then they merge after that, so that it's, like, more fair, supposedly. Yeah. But, yeah, I forgot where I was going with that. I was just saying, yeah. They try to make it, like, quote-unquote fair. Oh, yeah. I thought it was so weird that, like, it sounds like Dauntless's initiation is so incredibly hard compared to all the other ones.
Right.
And it seems like that's not just to prove that they're brave. Like, I don't really see the point in that. Because, like, Triss mentions that for abnegation, they literally just do community service the whole time. And I can't imagine that Amity's would be very hard.
Amity's is probably just, like, plant some seeds.
Right,
or something.
10-day garden.
Right.
They say that for Candor, the final test is that they just, like, inject you with true serum and, like, make you spill all your secrets, which, like, that sucks, but it's not hard. Like, you just let it happen, you know?
Right.
And they don't say what erudites is, but I assume it's some sort of test that you have to study for.
Yeah.
But it's not clear to me what the point of having a super hard initiation is. And also what the point of kicking people out are. Like, it's one thing if they drop out or if they don't pass something, but saying we'll only take X amount. Like, what if they're all really good? What's the point?
Right. Yeah, like, I don't know why they would want to keep their numbers low anyways.
Right.
Like, especially towards the end of this book, whenever there's an obvious war that's about to happen. It's like, why would you want low numbers in your faction anyways?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like... Okay, Candor is probably, like all the people there are probably super weak or whatever. But, like, 100 of them versus, like, 10 Dauntless, like, who's gonna win, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, you can train all you want, but at the end of the day, if you're just stupid.
Right. Also,
accepting
they people. Make it, they make it sound like Triss, like, super bulks up and stuff, even though she literally just, like, fights other people for a week.
Right.
And then, like, what does she even do? They don't have them doing weight room or, like, anything.
Yeah, well, and also, like, the second and third stage have nothing to do with how they look physically at all. It's all mental. So, like, do they just stop training after that?
Right. Yeah, I was like, I don't understand why they wouldn't be, like, I don't know, like, working out and running for part of the day and then fighting at the end or something. But, yeah, they don't have the training plan, like, thought out very well, clearly.
Right.
So, yeah, they go through, they're going through initiation, and at one point, Four kisses Triss. And then he's super mean to her in front of all the other initiates, like, the next day. And she gets so mad that she has to run away. And she goes to see her brother at the Erudite compound, which, like, I guess isn't strictly against the rules, even though it's against the rules for her to leave. It's not necessarily against the rules for her to visit her brother, but it's super weird.
Oh, and, like, Triss is already being watched like crazy. Because her father is, like, I forget his title, but he's very powerful. He's
like a councilman or something?
Yeah. He's, like, very powerful in the government. So, like, people know Triss. They know who she is. And so, like, whenever she gets to this Erudite compound, like, there are so many eyes on her that even, like, Janine notices that she's there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So she, like, sees her brother, and then she gets dragged in to see Janine, the leader of Erudite, and she, like, asks her a couple questions. It makes it obvious, like, that she thinks that Triss might be divergent. Right. Triss lies badly about it. And then she just, like, leaves. And then Eric yells at her when she gets back. And then her and Four make up in, like, 12 seconds. But it's so silly. So anyway, because of that visit, she realizes through talking to Four that Erudite wants to, like, rage war against Abnegation to basically take over the government from them.
Yeah, they think they're like, being super corrupt with, like, their funds and stuff.
Because Abnegation supposedly, like, provides food and clothing to the faction list rather than luxuries to the other factions, and Erudite thinks that actually they're just hoarding things.
It's always money. And,
right. It's always money. Right. And everyone really wants cars for some reason. Yeah. They're, like, really mad that they don't all have cars. Right. So Four and Triss are trying to figure out how they're gonna do it. Well, there's this new tracker that all of the Dauntless get the day before initiation, and then they wake up and everyone's...
Yeah, we can talk about the other two parts of the initiation, because that's kind of why...
Yeah, I guess we could.
That's why it was kind of sneaky how they did it, because of how the second and third levels of initiation are administered.
Excuse me, goodness. Yeah. Sorry.
So these levels basically take people through their worst fears. That is how Four gets his name. He only has four fears. And so that's, like, a record low, apparently, which whatever.
Seems so weird to me, though.
Yeah, it's very weird. Because they say the normal is, like, 10 to 15, right?
Right. But also, like, okay, so everyone has their things that they're afraid of, like, fears that they consistently have, right? But then there's also situations in which everyone would react with fear.
Right.
You know?
Like, if somebody was, like, holding a gun to you, like...
Right.
You would be fearful. But, like, exactly. Four, like, you would and be scared. Triss. Yeah, but, like, Four and Triss, they don't have that fear. At
right
all, for some reason. Maybe it's just like more specific things,
but I mean, I guess,
but Four has claustrophobia, so it's like
right,
I don't know. But basically, in these levels, they get injected with serum to put them through these simulations, and so for after level two with level three, they go through this thing called a fear landscape, which is just all their fears in one, right? After they got used to going through.
Right. So, like, so the second phase is, like, you lay down, they inject you, you're, like, in your head. Like, the simulation is in your head, and there's, like, I don't know, you're not necessarily facing a specific fear, you're just facing a situation that is very scary, yeah. is how they explain it. And then you have to either slow down your heart rate or face the fear to get out. So you have to, like, calm yourself down and miss all this. And so Triss does super, super well because she's Divergent and she can remind herself that it's a simulation, whereas people who aren't Divergent can't. They can't, like, right. separate themselves
That's
from it.
That's, like, one of the biggest, like, telling things whenever it comes to Divergent is they're able to, like, manipulate the simulation.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Like, in a they're non-human way. You know.
Able to, like, make things happen for them.
Right.
And then in the third one, the fear landscape, you, like, everyone is aware that it's a simulation. So it's how they, so they're supposed to manipulate the situation. Yeah. So it's less, even though everyone knows that they can manipulate it, it's, like, less telling. And Triss thinks, oh, like, I can do whatever I want. But she's somehow still way better at this than everyone else. So it still makes her look suspicious.
Yeah. And whenever they go through this third level, that's whenever they sneakily put all the trackers or whatever they are in their necks to be able to then control them and brainwash them to try and have a mass genocide on the Abnegation faction.
Yep, and they just, like, cart them on over.
Right.
but, of course, Triss isn't affected by this because she's Divergent, so she has to keep that under wraps while also she tries to save her family and everything. So I will say that I felt like this whole... So the little, I don't know, war thing happens at the end of the book. Like, the last, like...
Literally, this book is so dragged out. Yes. Like, this yes. seems like almost an afterthought, you know?
Yes. So I was going to say the same thing. I really feel like this book would have made a lot more sense if it was going through initiation. And then you can still have the sort of, we know that they want to wage war, but we don't know how they're going to do it. You know, what's going to happen? Have them end on, okay, we passed initiation. We know that these things are going to happen. What are we looking at now?
Yeah.
And then lead into the sequel with the war and all of that. I feel like that would have made a lot more sense than the way that this
Yeah, I feel like if that genocide would have happened in, like, Act 1 of Insurgent... Mm-hmm. It would have actually, like, set up that book a little bit better.
Right.
Because in that book, Erudite is, like, pretty much in control.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I feel like it definitely would have made more sense. And that way, they could have spent more time on all of that, because it feels kind of rushed here. It's at the tail end. Is. Yeah. And, like, you see Caleb once, and Triss sees him for, like, a minute, and he's a jerk, and she's like, well, mom said to research this thing, blah, blah, blah. And then you see him again in 50 pages, and he's like, I researched this thing, and I have all of this information for you. Like, you could have spent some time, like, maybe with him, or at least checking in with him. I don't know. Something. And then yeah. also, there's that whole, like, so... Earlier in the book, during the first phase, there's visiting day where, like, all the Dauntless Board get to see their families. And then technically, the transfers are allowed to see their families, too, if they choose. But a lot of transfers families won't come see them because it's, like, a betrayal. Yeah. But Triss's mom does come to see her and is like, I know you're Divergent. Be careful. Don't draw attention.
Right.
By the way, eat some cake. It's delicious. And then Triss is like, my mom was Dauntless.
Which, I mean, barely plays into the actual book at the end.
Right.
Pretty much right. The fact that her mom was Dauntless just explains why she can shoot a gun.
Right. I feel like it's explained just a little bit more later, like in the third book, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But that could have just been a reveal then. It could have been, like, a much bigger, like, oh my god, like, way later on.
Or even in the second book, because Janine right. knew her parents. Like, Janine could have told her. You know?
Right.
It could have been,
yeah,
like, a whole, like,
been...
Luke Skywalker thing.
Right. It would have been much cooler that way, I feel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, during this 50-page genocide that gets very rushed through, there's multiple deaths, multiple big deaths. So I feel like...
also didn't appreciate that.
Yeah. So I feel like the biggest one that, especially the later books, focus on more is Will's. Mm-hmm. So Triss makes friends with this girl named Christina and Will. And Will and Christina end up, like, dating. Mm-hmm. It's very out of the blue. But, you know, she's barely with Christina in this book, I feel. So, whatever. Right. And Will and Christina are obviously under the simulation because they are not divergent. And Will is trying to shoot at Triss. And so Triss has to make the decision to then kill him.
Right.
And so... later, like very early on, an insurgent that comes up, and Christina is pissed about it.
Sure.
Yeah. So how did you feel about that? Because honestly, I feel like it's supposed to be the big death at the end of this, but I feel like we barely got any time with Will, that it didn't really matter, you know?
it doesn't matter. I mean, both of, like, Triss's mom dies before Will dies, and then her dad dies after he dies. So, like, obviously those are, like, horrible too. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know that I care much. Like, it sucks. But it basically is just, like, Christina gets super mad at Triss for it, and so they've got conflict, even though Christina's, like, one of her only friends. But also she was kind of a bad friend anyway. Not really.
Yeah, they had the whole capture the flag thing where Christina was mad that Triss basically won the game for them. And she was like, you don't get to take this win as well. Like, give it to me. And it was this whole thing. I was like, Christina, like, stop being petty.
Right, yeah. She was just being petty. She got the flag. But then Triss is petty by, like, holding a grudge about it.
It's right, just a right.
stupid flag. Yeah, so... and then Christina, like, apologizes way later after Will and Christina are really mean to Triss for being really good at the simulations. Yeah. It's just like, why are all these children acting like children, pretending to be adults?
Why'd they get to make this decision?
Yeah. I don't know. It's funny. It's like such a... I mean, it's a thing in all dystopian books and all fantasy books that, like, 16 is some coming of age, like, where you can suddenly make these huge decisions. It's like, in absolutely no way should 16-year-olds be allowed to make these decisions. It's a terrible idea.
They should not get to choose a faction to go live in the rest of their lives, you know?
Right, right.
That's just... no, I feel like most people mature around, like, 20, you know?
Also, how are you supposed to choose having, like, knowing nothing about the other factions? Like, just because you like what they stand for. That sounds, like, terrible.
Right, right. Also, Dauntless should definitely be more open that they're only going to take 10 people, you know?
That should be upfront, thank you.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. Yeah.
Right.
Crazy. So I think it's, I don't know, it's kind of interesting that, so each faction has what they stand for, but they also sort of have, like, a fatal flaw, basically, which...
oh my god. Yeah.
Makes sense and also don't make sense a little bit.
I think it's in the back of the book, honestly. Like, their weakness.
Let me see.
I think it was in mine. I can go grab mine real quick.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, you got it. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So.
Oh, also, mine had a whole matchmaking thing in the back of it. It was like, ooh, if you're...
I don't have a matchmaker.
Yeah, it was like, if you're an erudite, your soulmate is like an Amity.
Well, that's not how this works.
Right. I'm like, so isn't abnegation... that like against the law, almost?
Exactly. Faction before blood, hello. Mm-hmm. So abnegation is... obviously, their value is selflessness. And this says that other people see you as somewhat difficult to get to know. And people call other people from abnegation stiffs, you know, because they're not affectionate. They don't like to show a lot of emotion.
Yeah.
And like we said, the other factions think it's pretty unfair that they run the government. So then Amity is peaceful. Other CUS sometimes flaky or indecisive. Okay, that's not as big a flaw as the other ones, I feel like.
Right.
if you're in Candor, you value honesty. Other people see you as sometimes insensitive. So, yeah, they're
that
just
makes
like
sense.
Jerks.
Yeah.
yeah. If you're dauntless, you value bravery. Others may see you as abrasive. Sure, but I feel like pride is definitely the big one for dauntless. Like, there's a difference between bravery and, like, being stupid.
Right.
Bravery and recklessness are not the same thing.
No. I totally get that, but I think there is definitely an ego in Dauntless a little bit.
Right.
You know, they do think they're better than everybody else, but, like you said, I think that's more down to pride
than
abrasive.
Sure. I mean, they might be abrasive, but I definitely wouldn't say that that's their, like, flaw.
Right.
And they can also be cruel sometimes because they want brave people. But, you know, you don't have to show, you don't have to prove bravery in the face of cruelty necessarily.
Exactly.
And then erudite cares about intelligence and knowledge. And sometimes people will see you as condescending, which is true, but they also have a huge ego. They think because they hold all the knowledge that they should hold all the power, which isn't necessarily true.
Right. So that may be why the leaders of erudite and dauntless teamed up. To do the genocide.
Because they... to do the genocide, right. Yes. Because they're both very prideful.
Exactly.
For sure. Do you have a favorite character?
You know, before reading this, I was always a fan of Christina.
Mm-hmm.
I always really liked her as a character. But I think I'd need to read the other books to maybe get that affection for her again, because in this book she was just kind of whiny the entire time.
Yes.
So I think my favorite would be Beatrice.
Yeah. I feel like she may get better in the other books. I don't really remember. I feel like I'm fond of Christina because I love Zoe Kravitz a lot.
That's also a reason.
She
yeah.
plays Christina in the movie. But it's not. Yeah, I don't super love book Christina in this first book.
Right.
Other than that, I don't know. I think I kind of like Caleb, even though he's kind of a jerk to Triss. When they meet up, she's also kind of a jerk to him.
I just remember in the movies, like, Caleb needed saving all the time. Like, Triss, he always got into situations where, like, he couldn't fight, he couldn't do anything, and Triss had to come in and save him. And, you know, in the last book, stuff happens because of that.
Right. Yeah. It is. In terms of this book, though, I mean, he's not there a lot, but...
Right.
Triss really looks
up to him.
Yeah,
he kind of goes off to erudite, and then you just hear from him a couple times.
Right. Other than that, I really didn't connect with any of the characters very much.
You know what?
I don't really like Four.
Four grew on me after a while. Mm-hmm. Like, I kind of get why he was super prideful at the beginning and rude to everybody, but like I do think he becomes more open to at least Triss.
He does.
But I was gonna say maybe still. Susan is my favorite character because she's barely there and she doesn't cause any trouble.
I like Tori the tattoo artist.
Oh, Tori's so great.
Yeah,
like she's nice to at least warn Triss about
exactly
the dangers
she's
of
the
being
person
divergent.
That gave Tori her test, or gave Triss her test, and told her that she was divergent, told her not to tell anybody, and that she was going to cover for her. And then Triss goes to her for help a couple of times, and Triss is not very appreciative for what she does for her.
You know, the whole test thing kind of seems odd, because I think just making, like, Tori has to override the test and basically write in that her test was that she got sick or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of think that's just, like, so obviously divergent, you know?
Right, if it never happens in any other situation.
Right.
Yeah, and it's not like they have to prove their actions to anybody. Like, there's no governing body that they have to answer to, clearly. Right. So why don't they just go after Triss after seeing that? They act like they're gathering proof for some reason. I don't know, but...
Yeah, especially after, like, with the second level of initiation where she can now apparently take the serum. It's like, that's a major red flag.
For sure. Also, super annoying, but her mom goes over there to warn her, says, stay in the middle of the pack, don't draw attention, you're gonna be the best, don't be the best. And Triss is like, no, I'm gonna go ahead and be the best, actually.
Right, and I'm gonna date the person training us.
Like, Triss, listen to your mother. Right. Yeah, she heeds her advice not at all.
Right, right. Yeah. I do kind of like how the factions kind of fall at the end of this book. You know, like, they're not, like, totally gone, but I don't know. They don't really matter after this book a little bit because nobody really trusts anybody anymore.
Right.
You know, like, I feel like, especially with Erudite and Dauntless, like, they kind of lost all their trust.
Sure.
And then Abnegation has always been, like, the media controls everything in Chicago, apparently. And so, like, Abnegation is already, like, on bad terms. So that may be why they hide out in Candor a little bit in the second book, in Amity. Because they're kind of the, I don't know, stagnant factions in this situation.
Right.
Yeah, they're not really involved.
Like, you know, Candor can't lie, so they're not manipulative, and then Amity wants peace, so they're not manipulative, and so they kind of, like, go to them.
Right.
Yeah, I remember even less about the other two books than I remembered about this one, so.
Insurgent is a complete blur, and I only remember the third book because they go outside the gates of Chicago.
Right. I do remember some of that, some of the unraveling. I do think the explanation of, like, sort of how their system was created is very interesting. But yeah.
Yeah. It's an interesting one, I would say. Have you read the short stories? No.
So I'm not going to spoil it. However, after hearing about how the last book ends, I swore off the series and I was like, nope, 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 no more. Thanks. No thanks.
You know, I didn't think the ending was that bad.
Really?
But I definitely didn't enjoy it. Like, it wasn't a satisfying ending whatsoever.
For sure.
But the novella collection now includes, which this novella collection is called Four. And it basically follows Four before he was Dauntless and while he's becoming Dauntless. And in these 10th anniversary editions, they included this short story. I have yet to read it, but it's called We Can Be Mended. And apparently it's an extra chapter onto Allegiant. So maybe it'll make the ending a little bit more satisfying.
Maybe. You'll have to let me know. I probably still won't read it, but...
Yeah.
All right, I'm trying to think if we missed anything. I don't think we did. That's pretty much Divergent.
Yeah. So we could talk about our current reads right now, and then also what the next podcast will be about.
I'm so excited. So I am still trying to read Addie LaRue. Yeah. Well, I read a little bit and then kind of fell off the wagon. I got the new... it's not new, but it's new to me. I got the Zelda game for the Switch.
Oh.
And so I was playing that a lot. And then my birthday, and I was in Florida for over a weekend in June.
Yes.
So, yeah, just a lot. It's been happening.
Yeah. So me and Lily finally saw each other in person again.
We did. And we did not record together.
Right. So July was actually, like, kind of a good reading month for me. I won't go into everything, but I did end up reading, I think in the last podcast I said that I was going to read Eileen by Otessa Moshfegh. I did read that. It was very good. I will be reading more Otessa Moshfegh in the future. And then I picked up Tender is the Night by F. Scott Fitzgerald, which, you know, the guy that wrote The Great Gatsby.
I do know.
Yeah. Tender is the Night took him 10 years to write, and it's pretty bad.
That's hilarious. You know what's funny? I really did not like The Great Gatsby, like, at all.
I enjoyed it. Like, I thought it was very good, but I don't get, like, all the hype about it, you know?
Yeah.
I think F. Scott Fitzgerald is great when his stories are brief. So.
Yeah.
Tenderest Night is 400 pages. It should have ended after 150. And that's what I have to say about that. It's aimless, almost.
Sure.
No plot.
Mm.
But
so, do not recommend.
I do not recommend you really want to.
You never gave Divergent stars.
Oh, well, 5 stars. Yeah. Oh, if okay, it's not, if it wasn't that. Obvious.
Okay, continue.
Yeah.
Dude, what are you reading right now?
So now I'm reading this book called Boy Parts. I forget what it's, or who it's by, I mean. But apparently it's a horror / drama. I don't really know. Literary fiction, whatever you want to call it. It's about this artist that takes pictures of men in the nude. And apparently she goes a bit serial killer. So I'm excited to get there.
Interesting.
Yeah.
You know, it's weird that I know this, but there's actually an episode of American Horror Story Coven called Boy Parts.
Yes.
I wonder if it's named after that book.
I don't know. So in that episode.
Is it an older book?
No, it came out like last year. Or this year.
Oh, okay. So definitely not.
It's like new. Okay. But yeah, that episode, which it's like the second or third episode. No spoilers.
Yeah, I think it's the second one.
Yeah. Basically, they have a whole Frankenstein situation, which is why it's called Boy Parts.
Which is why it's called Boy Parts.
Yes. So maybe the main character will go Frankenstein on this. But I think she's just going to go serial killer.
Right. Okay, so I need to look up I know what her name is. Okay, so for our next book, I'm so excited about this. We are reading Sorrowland, and it's by Ravens Solomon. So it seems like it's maybe like a horror-y /
Yeah, it seems I was reading reviews on it and somebody explained it as a sci-fi gothic horror. Which,
I like it.
I'm excited to see what that means.
Uh-huh. I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think this might be the most, like, I guess it's not really fantasy, but it's definitely going to be, like, the spookiest book we've read so far. So, we're going to start a spooky season way early, which is the way I like it.
Yes. We gotta do something spooky for October.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely.
Maybe I'll finally read a Stephen King book.
Oh my god, yes. I'll reread one.
Yeah.
Your choice. I've read a lot of them.
All right, I'll think about it.
Yeah.
All right, well, thank you so much, everyone, for listening, and we will see you hopefully not in another month like it was this time.
Right. We will see you sooner than there.
Right.
Hopefully. Okay.